I'd like for you to get your Bibles this morning, and I would like for you to turn to the book of Psalms, and we're going to be looking at Psalm 103. And Psalm 103 was one of the Psalms penned by King David himself. King David was known to be the sweet psalmist of Israel. David wrote many, many of the Psalms that are found in the book of Psalms. He didn't write all of them, but he did write many of them. And Psalm 103 is one of the, I believe, one of the most beautiful of those Psalms. Psalm 103, as I mentioned earlier, was written by King David, who was probably the greatest king that ever lived. It's always so interesting that even Jesus would be regarded as the son of David. The son of David. And so David is a very important figure in the Bible. And this psalm is a beautiful one. Before we get into the word of the Lord, I do want to pray. Bow your heads. Father, we ask that you'd bless the preaching of your word this morning. I pray that you would help me to portray your heart, your very heart today, even through the reading of this particular psalm. I pray that you would use it to remind us of all the benefits that you have given to us freely by faith. And I ask that most of all that, Lord Jesus, you would be glorified here. We commit it into your hands, asking for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. I want to speak with you a message entitled, As Far as the East is from the West. As far as the East is from the West. Psalm 103, beginning with verse 1. We're going to read the whole psalm. It's that beautiful. We're not going to focus on the whole thing, but it's just that good that we're going to read the whole thing. It says this: Bless the Lord, O my soul. I am reading from the Modern English Version. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord does righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always accuse or chide in the King James, neither will he keep his anger forever. He does not treat us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord gives compassion to those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, he flourishes. For the hot wind passes over it, and it is gone. The place where it was is not known. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him, and his righteousness to the children's children, to those who keep his covenant, and to those who remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who are mighty, and do his commands, and obey the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you servants who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, and in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What a beautiful psalm this is. And it is obvious a psalm like this doesn't just come from any man. When we think about King David, we must understand that David was a man that not only had a knowledge of God, David was a man who had a relationship with his God. There's a big difference between knowing someone and having a relationship with that individual. We can learn a lot about people, But there's only one way to really know them intimately, and that's by having a relationship with them. And David was a man who, even from the time of his youth, had known God in such a way that his relationship with God would keep him from the time of his young years all the way till his death. It was out of this relationship that he would write these many songs to the Lord, for there was nothing but a song in his heart to his God. And it's beautiful when you think about the fact that when you are walking hand in hand with your God, there is always a song that will develop within your heart towards your God. I remember when I first got saved, I got saved by listening to evangelist Billy Graham many years ago. I had long hair halfway down my back. I was out there. But when I came to Jesus and I humbled myself, He saved my soul. And I remember I began to get a relationship with God. I was reading the Bible, I was praying, and I was also listening to good, wholesome Christian music. And as I was listening to this music, you see, music was always a part of my life. Before I was saved, it was more satanic. But now that I was saved, I was worshiping God, and my love for God was growing. And I remember there would be times when I would be standing before the mirror. My twin brother Jonas was still asleep in the bed, and my younger brother Eric was on his bunk bed. We all shared a room, three of us in one room. That's all right. And I would be there getting ready to go to work, and I'd be blow-drying my hair. It was all long, man. And I was blow-drying my hair, but there was a song in my heart. And as I was blow-drying my hair, I was worshiping the Lord, and I'd be singing these songs to God while I was combing my hair. Amen? And I remember I'd be there worshiping God, and I'd be loving on God. And I remember one time my twin brother said, "Shut up!" He didn't understand the song in my heart. But my love for God was growing that I couldn't help but sing. And I couldn't help but say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." As our relationship with God grows, these same kinds of words will be birthed in your heart, just like was birthed in the heart of David. You can't help but sing. You can't help but love. You can't help but worshiping the Lord your God. But it will come from a relationship. You see, that kind of walk with the Lord isn't just going to come and just listening to the Sunday school lessons and listening to the sermons. It's going to come as you allow that word to come into your heart and your soul. And you begin to let it develop in your heart. And that relationship with God will begin to birth that kind of life. Amen. We used to sing a song there at the school. "There's a song in my heart that the angels can't sing, redeemed." And I'm here to tell you that this psalm and the beauty of the words of this psalm are coming from the mindset of redemption. King David is writing about the power and the beauty of redemption. And you may be thinking in your heart, "Well, what does redemption mean, Pastor?" That word redemption, or to redeem, means to purchase something to be your own. God has done everything necessary to purchase you to be His son and His daughter, and He's made it possible by way of the cross. And if you will come to Jesus with all of your heart, and you will open your heart's door to Him, you are a part of His redemptive plan. He paid a price for you to be saved. He's made it possible for every individual in this room, from the youngest child to the oldest adult. He has made it possible through the cross of Calvary for you to be saved. There is not a person on the face of the earth who cannot be saved. The only thing is that the Lord waits for you. He waits for me to turn to Him and of my own accord, my own free will, say, "Lord, come into my life." God's made redemption possible for all. But redemption is only effectual for those that will believe in Him. And this psalm, Psalm 103, this psalm of redemption begins to spell out to you and to me the beauty of our redemption. The psalmist begins to mention right away in verse 2 the many benefits that you have. And I don't know, sometimes some Christians don't even realize the benefits that they have in Christ Jesus. I remember when we were first working in the ministry there in Pennsylvania, working at the Bible school, they eventually said, you know what, now you're approved for your medical and all that kind of stuff. Benefits. You guys know what I mean, right? Dental and health. And I remember we were there for the longest time. We had all of these benefits, but we never took advantage of them. And then one day I snapped. Why am I not going to the dentist? I've got insurance that covers it. And so eventually I started looking through the phone book and we found our dentist. Gave it a try. It was Colonial Park Family Dentistry. Went in there and they cleaned up my teeth. And thankfully there were no cavities. Amen? I began to go to doctors, and the doctors there in Pennsylvania were good. They were part of the Penn State health system. My doctor, Dr. Gingrich, was one that was known through the nation. A good doctor, thorough, made sure I was in good health, and told me when I wasn't. Amen? But I was able to take advantage of those benefits because I had them. But did you know that as a child of God, you have many, many benefits that you could take advantage of? You are a child of the King. You're a son and a daughter of God Almighty. He is for you. He is not against you. You are the apple of His eye. The Bible says, greater is He that's within me than he that's within the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can do amazing things in Christ. But many times we don't even understand what we have. And because we don't understand what we have, we don't take advantage of it. That's why it's so important for you and for me to develop that relationship with God. Just like any relationship, if you're not spending time with the other person, there is not a relationship there. Amen. The way you got to know your best friend was by hanging around with them. You saw them working on their car, you jumped under the car with them. Amen? Or you said, hey, can you give me the wrench? Well, you were getting dirty with the oil. Right, guys? The ladies, they're cooking together. And in their cooking, just like ladies do, they're talking. Amen? And they're getting to know each other. No relationship will develop if there's no time spent with the other individual. God has made you and me, by design, relational. Amen. We were created in the very image of God. God desires relationship with you, and God created you to desire relationship. But why don't we take advantage of the greatest relationship that can be had? But the more we know Him, the more that we spend time with Him, the more we will understand the many benefits. Amen? Because He will speak them to you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Look what it says here. It says, He forgives all your iniquities, verse 3. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. You don't need to fear hell. Amen? He's redeemed you from it. That is not your destiny. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Did you know when you look at eagles, eagles are an interesting animal. You know that an eagle will actually get rid of their feathers once a year? That means, in essence, it doesn't matter what you had in the past. Eventually you're going to molt and get some new feathers. Amen? That's why even an old, aged eagle still looks young. People want to know what the fountain of youth is. They thought it was some kind of cream to rub on their face. And I'm here to tell you that it's really found in God Almighty. He will renew your strength like an eagle. Amen. many, many benefits. The Lord does righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. You know what? There's an oppression in this world, isn't there? Sin brings a heaviness. But the scripture says that He will do justice for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. That's who our God is. Whenever the condemner comes to tell you that God is mad at you and you shouldn't, there's no way that God will forgive you. Don't go to church because everybody's just going to talk about you. That's a lie from the pit. God loves you. He's here with His arms wide open welcoming you. Amen? Your family, your loved ones, He loves you. He is not the condemner. Satan is. God is for you. Man. He is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always accuse. Neither will He keep His anger forever. He does not treat us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. But now verses 11 and 12. It says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him." You know, in the scientific community, they have these amazing telescopes where they look at the stars and they study the stars or even go beyond galaxies into universes. And as you all know, sometimes if it's the Hubble telescope or any other one, they begin to go deeper and deeper into space, and they're always amazed at how big and how vast the heavens are. And what's amazing about it is that scientists are discovering, and they've said it over and over again, is that this universe is expanding. It's stretching out. And when the Bible says that the Lord's mercy is as high as the heavens are above the earth, that means it's increasing. Amen? And there's no reach to the extension of the end of His mercy. Oh, we've all made mistakes. And every single one of us needs His mercy. But I'm here to tell you that His mercy is higher than the heavens. Amen? To all that will call upon Him. He's not showing favoritism. He doesn't show mercy to Pastor James more than He'll show to you. He doesn't show more mercy to the big name evangelist who's been saved and winning thousands of souls to Jesus more than you. No. As far as God is concerned, as far as you are concerned, you're just as important to Him as who you think is important to Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. But then it goes on and it says in verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions or iniquities from us." This is so powerful. Because, you know, this is what happens. We tend to forget how God has benefited us. And we tend to remember what God has forgotten all about. Did you hear that? We tend to forget what God has given to us, what He has benefited us with. And we tend to remember what God has forgotten all about. Oh, but I sin too much. Well, repent, stop. But when you come to God, He wipes the slate clean. I want you to say clean. He has wiped our sins away through the blood of Jesus so thoroughly that the Bible says that as far as the east is from the west, east and west will never meet. Amen. East and west, it's always going to keep on going. And the Bible says as far as that is, He's removed our iniquities, transgressions. You know what that word transgression means by definition? Yes, it's the wrongs that we've done. But when you look at that word transgression, it means that you've sinned with knowledge. In other words, transgressions are sins that we knew we shouldn't have done but still did. Anybody done those before? You don't have to raise your hand, but you know what I mean. These are things we knew we shouldn't have done but still did. And the Bible says when you come to Him, He's given you the benefit of knowing that He has removed those transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. Do you understand how forgiven you are? Do you understand how clean you are in the sight of God by faith? Now, obviously, that's not going to apply to everyone. What do you mean, Pastor? If you have never turned to Jesus and you've never opened your heart's door to God by repentance, receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says the wrath of God still abides upon you. If you don't turn to Jesus, He's the Savior. If you don't turn to Him, you have no Savior. You see, He's dealt with these transgressions as far as the east is from the west for those that have been redeemed. So then how do we get redeemed, Pastor? All you have to do is repent of your sins and turn to God with all of your heart. Open your heart's door to Jesus just as you are. He'll take you just as you are. He doesn't wait for perfection. Amen. And He'll take your life as messed up as it is, and He'll do the work of cleaning it all up. You come to Him by faith just as you are, and He'll welcome you into the household of God. And when you do that, He'll take your sin and He'll cast it into the sea of His forgetfulness. What we need to do is not do what we're prone to do. Forget His benefits and remember our sin. We need to do the other way around. We need to know who we are in Christ Jesus and remember our benefits and forget our sin just like He has forgotten them. Amen? This plan of redemption is so powerful and so beautiful that it's able to save anyone if they would just sincerely come to God by faith. Amen. Oh, it's a beautiful thought to think. And it's no wonder why David would write such a beautiful psalm. I'd encourage you later on today to reread that and take it slowly. Chew on it for a little while. Contemplate the words. Meditate on what it's saying. And understand, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, every one of those promises apply to you. Oh, but Pastor, I've just been going through quite a bit. I've been struggling. It doesn't matter. God is for you. Amen? And He wants to help you through whatever it is you're going through. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to say a prayer together.